child, staring at the beauty of the king. May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder. Wide-eyed and mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of our King. May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder. Wide-eyed and mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of our King.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Welcome to your morning energizer. Welcome to the morning faith boost. This is going to be a very, very exceptional week for you. Yes, great week filled with favor, filled with increase, filled with insight, filled with knowledge, filled with revelation, filled with great and mighty opportunities. This is a week of progress for you. The Bible says the path of the just is a shining light, shines brighter and brighter onto a perfect day. So yes, you go forward this week. You excel this week. And I'm here by the grace and the capacity God has granted unto me to just help. All right, together with the Holy Ghost in you, with me, in me. All right, to boost you into your day. And I believe it will be exceptional. Glory to God. Welcome. I believe you enjoyed last week's series. It ran for 2 weeks and we looked at, you know, having faith in the finished work of Jesus. Well, I mean, it's an inexhaustive topic. Almost everything worth learning and that would ever learn. All right. From the scriptures, it's all about having faith in what Jesus has done. Is that all right? So it's inexhaustive. Okay. But it just allows us, you know, when we put topics to things, all right, to give direction for what we're dealing with, see them, all right? How well we see them, all right? So what do you see? How do you see it? How well you see it affect and could be the major determinant between victory and defeat, between walking by faith, walking by sight, between walking in the spirit, walking in the flesh. You know, it just affects everything. So we see in the 13th chapter of the book of Numbers, Numbers 13, the 30th verse, Numbers 13, verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Let us," I'm sure you know the story already, all right, they sent, you know, 12 spies out to check out the land, all right, 12 come back, but 11 have a different story from 2. 2 says, "Hey, we're able, you know, let's read." All right, verse 30 again says, "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.'" 31 now, read 31 down to the 33rd verse, okay? "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw, all right, in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight.'" I'm going to peek, all right, again, 32, all right, into 33. All right, "The descendants of Anak come from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." So what basically defeated them, all right, was perspective, was what they saw, all right, how they saw it. And like I asked also, how well? Because you have to look at what do you see? How do you see it? How well do you see it? Because it's important to define, okay, what exactly am I looking at? Okay, then it's okay, how exactly do I see what I think I see? Am I seeing it well? So yes, we saw giants. Okay, so you have to get this. Let me slow down there a bit. Number one is, what do you see? Number two is, how do you see it? Okay, so did they all see giants? Are you thinking that Caleb and Joshua didn't see the giants? They did see what the rest of the guys saw. So what do you see? I see them. How do you see them? With which eyes? With what perspective do you see what you see? All right, yeah, I see the giants, but hey, I just see them as guys that God has defeated already, and he says, you come conquer the land. And then the other guy said, no, we saw the giants, and this is how we see them. We see them as they are, giants, and they are going to devour us. All right, so because you've got to get this in walking with the Lord, in walking in victory, what do you see? How do you see? This is basically the privilege of perspective. And it's important that you and I, right, give attention to this. What do you see? What do you see? Jeremiah, what do you see? All right, maybe ask yourself, mention your name. All right, yes, you know, Johnson, Thompson, you know, Felicia, Tunji, Bola, you know, Benga, you know, what do you see? Call your own name. Ask yourself, all right, take a minute. That project in front of you, what you're going to step into, it's Monday, all right? What you're dealing with today, what do you see? How do you see it? How do you see it? How do you see it? Okay, so you have things to do, deliverables, all right? So what do you see? How do you see it? Do you see yourself once again get swallowed up by, right, insurmountable tasks and, you know, responsibilities being handed to you? Or do you see today different, this week different? How do you see yourself? Are you more than a conqueror? Is there the ability of God flowing through you? What do you see? What do you see? How exactly do you see it? Very, very important questions we're going to keep asking and we have to answer. We go to Judges, all right? The sixth chapter of Judges. I know you know the story again, but listen, it just bears repetition. And don't forget, faith comes how? Yep, by hearing. So we see Judges chapter 6 from verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, that's Gideon, all right? And said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. All right? The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Let me pick it up from the 11th verse. Okay, so you see what's happening here. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, all right? Which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, all right, the Abizrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. So Gideon was basically trying to just secure some food, right, for the family, basic. So the angel comes and says, all right, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. You would have wondered, hey, I'm here trying to hide, all right, trying to save my neck and save my family. And then you call me a mighty man of valor. Perspective. The angel comes with God's image. The angel comes with God's view. The angel comes with exactly how God views Gideon. Gideon, and listen to me, child of God, and listen much more than listening to me. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. You might have fumbled, you might have failed, you might have flopped. But please listen to God's word. As long as you listening, you're born again. If you're not, there's nothing you're waiting for. All right, Jesus died, and I believe you know that. I know you believe, all right, or I assume, allow me assume, all right, that you believe that he resurrected. You know he died, you know he resurrected. There's nothing you're waiting for, all right? Just right there with me, you could say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you resurrected. I confess you as the Lord of my life. Amen. All right, so just in case you did that, all right, you could drop a comment or please send me a message. I would love to know. And then let's see how we could help you with the journey. All right, but everyone listening, if you're born again, you cannot live life, all right, no matter how horrible it is. Maybe you've not even sorted out how you're going to live through the rest of the month of July. There's how you see yourself. There's how God sees you. All right, and two cannot walk together except they agree. So if God says you're a mighty man of valor, don't keep trying to pull him down. You've got to see that God sees things differently. Oh, but you're useless. No, you're not. That's what you think. oh, but you're irrelevant. No, that's what you think. Oh, but you know, nobody really cares about you. That's what you think. All right. And if you keep allowing these thoughts to gain the ascendancy, all right, to dominate your mind, they will pull you. All right. God has his own thoughts. Don't forget, Isaiah 55, God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. He said it doesn't mean that's how he wants it to be. He said it because that's usually how it is. He now says, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, so will my thoughts, all right? So he now gives you his own thoughts so that you can elevate yourself. Praise God. So we see again here, the angel said to Gideon, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. 13, Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianite. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. So Gideon continues to drag the conversation down in his own line of perspective. Listen, don't you get God has forsaken us? And then God says, you're going to do great things. And no, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord, I love verse 16. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you will defeat the Midianites as one man. Surely, oh my goodness, I will be with you, and you will defeat the Midianites as one man. I want you to quickly take a mental glance through God's, you know, hall of fame. All right. See, you know, a Moses, one who could have been defeated, ran away in exile, all right, from Egypt, was a shepherd, 40 long years. I mean, he was 40 years when he left, spent an extra 40 years. I mean, everything is just blank where he's concerned. Suddenly, God shows up and says, you are the deliverer. I've heard the cries of my people. I'm sending you forth. God speaks to him, shows him miracle power, you know, tells him to use the staff in his hand. And Moses returns to Egypt, one man. One man, guys. I want you to see the transformative power, all right, of receiving God's perspective about your life. Moses moved away from an exile man to move into a deliverer just by receiving God's perspective. David moved from a shepherd boy to becoming a warrior, a captain, and then the greatest king of Israel just by receiving God's picture, God's idea of him. You see all that happen. Abraham, all right, in his daddy's house till 75, God moved him from his daddy's house, changed his perspective, changed his name, gave him a child of promise. Everything about Abraham changed from those days, you know, those days forward. Everything just changed because of perspective, because of them not holding on to how they saw themselves, but going further with God, with the way God sees them. Allow me ask you again, what do you see? Yeah, maybe you take a quick look at yourself. Are you in the car? Are you at the office? Are you still on the bed? Are you sitting down somewhere on the chair? Wherever you are, what do you? Yes, take a pretty quick look at yourself. What do you see? Do you see someone defeated? Do you see someone who's just fat and slobby and going nowhere? Do you see someone who's just skinny and hopeless? Do you see someone who no guy's interested in? Do you see someone who no lady's ever just going to say any yes to? Do you see someone who just keep not knowing how to get a great job or even keep a good job? What do you see? If all that is everything you see, I want you to go on a journey, you and the Lord. He's willing to take you. Listen, oh God is in the business, listen, of making champions of ordinary people. I want you to understand that God is in the business of making champions of ordinary people. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter where you come from, no matter how many times you flopped, you fumbled, or you failed, God, please believe this, is in the business of making champions of ordinary people. I want you to see 1 Corinthians chapter 1, all right, from the 25th verse. Bible says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Listen to this, all right? I'll take it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. All right, you get that? The foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God, all right, is stronger than men. 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh. All right, not many mighty, not many noble are called. All right, he says, you see your calling. All right, God didn't call many wise. God didn't call many mighty. God didn't call many noble. All right, 27 says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. Did you get that? God chose the foolish things to put to shame the wise. God chose the weak things to put to shame the things that are mighty, and the base things, all right, of the world, all right, and the things that are despised, God has chosen, and the things that are not, all right, he chose them to bring to naught the things that are. 29 says that no flesh, all right, should glory in his presence, so that nobody can brag and say, hey, God used me because I qualified. God used me because I'm all that. God used me because I'm good enough. I mean, God just couldn't find anybody better than me, so he chose me. No, God is in the business of choosing the down and out. Did you get that? So if you feel you're down and out, you qualify, all right? Even if you feel, oh, I think I'm good, I know you know you're not as good, right? Nobody matches all of God's best. It's because we qualify as a result of the grace and the love and the mercy of God. He himself qualified us, guys. We couldn't qualify. If God marked iniquity, nobody stands, all right? No matter how good anybody is, you're just the best of all the bad people, all right? It's the love, the grace, and the mercy of God. So I'm saying to you once again, if you're out there listening and feel like, oh, you don't qualify, maybe your life is not even worth living anymore, you're just making a whole big mistake. You're trying to define your life from your perspective. And trust me, your perspective is puny. It is small, it is tiny, it is super ultra myopic. God has a plan, and God says, I have you ever wondered, all right? So Jacob is coming from Laban, all right? He comes from his uncle's house, and then on his way to meeting with Esau to reconcile with his brother, he wrestles all night with an angel. Remember the story? And his name is changed from Jacob to Israel. Wouldn't it be just normal, all right? Wouldn't it just make basic sense, all right? So from that day, God changes his own introduction to, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. But God doesn't change the introduction. God makes himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes, he changes Jacob's name to Israel. Yes, the nation is not called Jacob. The nation is called Israel. But God left his own introduction. Why? Because I'm the God of the testimony. I'm the God of the transformation. I'm the one who could change anybody. And I'll let you know that he was Jacob. I will call myself the God of Jacob. So you remember that there's a story behind it. God changes everybody. I've been changed. I'm still being changed. I'm sure if you look at your life, there's a lot you still can be grateful for. So what do you see? You've got to move away from what you see on your own self to say, okay, I need to get tired of how I see myself. I've got to find out, what is God saying about me? How does God see me? What's God's viewpoint of me? Okay, what's God's viewpoint of me? Because it's all about perspective. What do you see? How do you see it? How well do you see it? Do you get that? In 2 Kings chapter 6, all right, from the 15th verse, okay, Bible says that when the servant of the man of God, all right, rose up early and went forth, behold, all right, a host that compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And the servant said to him, alas, master, how shall we do? And he answered, all right, the servant, Elisha actually answered and said, fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that are with them. Okay, I see that we're surrounded. You say, no, we are covered, we're protected. Elisha in verse 17, you know, prayed and said, Lord, I pray you open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Perspective. What do you see? Do you see yourself surrounded? Do you see yourself defeated? Are you going to your office and feeling like, well, these guys are just like 15 against one. Me alone, I'm the only Christian here. Or I'm the only serious Christian here. They're like picking on me. They're like, no, you are not alone. The angels of God are with you. All right. I mean, the other believers there to have angels, but you be conscious of yours. You be conscious of the love of God with you. Be conscious of the favor of God. You are not alone. You are not alone. You don't think alone. Don't try to move alone. No. Listen, how you see, what you see, all right, affects your dealings with God, affects your victory in life. Oh, thank you, Lord. I mean, there have been many, many times that one could quit. Seriously, very many times. Very, very, if I need to stress that, many times that one could quit. But you say, no, am I quitting because I think it's all over? Or I'm quitting because God said it's all over? Trust me, God hasn't said it's all over. No. Come on, child of God. If God be for you, who can be against you? God hasn't blown the whistle. God didn't ask you to throw in the towel. Rise up, face your game, and look at the ability of God that is available to you. Genesis chapter 13, from the 14th verse of Genesis 13, Bible says, and the Lord said to Abraham, all right, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from where, all right, the place that you are. Look northward, southward, eastward, westward, all right, for all the land which you see, I will give to you and to your descendants after you. So God tells Abraham, lift up your eyes. Look. Don't forget the first question God asked Jeremiah. What do you see? What do you see? Look. Lift up your eyes and look northward, southward, eastward. You know, west, or just look all around you. Guys, there's something called selective perception. You look all around, maybe where you are, you see defeat. And then you see one teeny, weeny, bitsy kind of thing that looks like success. Keep your eyes on that one, all right? Be selective. Don't say, I see failure around. No, I could see the hand of God, all right? I see light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not another train coming. No, it's I see this thing. There's a way out of here. I see it. I believe it because the devil would like to paint this blurry picture around you and make you feel, hey, you know, you're here to fail. And he said, no. Remember what David said? He said, hey, I killed the bear. I killed the lion. And the same God who helped me then is going to help me kill this big old Goliath right here. So I believe you have a testimony. Somewhere, something in your life, there was deliverance, there was provision, there was protection, there was preservation, there was favor, there was something. You can point, listen, no matter how bad it's been, you can. I mean, sometimes we go to say, oh, like the woman who came, you know, to the prophet and said, man of God, my husband, your servant, you know, he died and he left us all in debt and everything just so bad, you know, and then, the creditors are coming to pick, you know, our two boys, and then they're going to take them away to slave. And then the man asked her, what do you have in your house? First answer, nothing. She said, I have this little jawa. But I have nothing. Think again. All right, I have this little job. You know, so sometimes, you know, we're too full with the difficulties and the impossibilities and every negative thing all around us that we fail to magnify the goodness of God. We fail to even recognize the goodness of God. All right, so if you're thinking, oh, things aren't working, now I'm not asking you to just be overtly pessimistic, you know, optimistic. Hey, let me just be positive. You know, the ship is sinking, I'm just positive. You know, faith is not just mere optimism. No, faith is trust in what God has said. This is not just positive confession. It's going to be a great day. No, this is you, all right, latching onto God's ability. And God's ability always works. God's ability pulls things through. Faith in God works. Do you understand that? Faith in God would always work. What do you see? And that's what God is saying to Abraham here. As far as your eyes can see, I will give it to you. As far. And someone says, well, what if he sees so little? No, God is helping him see far. God wants him to see far. All right, this is just the beginning. God later told him, I mean, look at the stars in the sky. God God is helping you to see far. That's why I'm talking to you. That's why, you know, your pastor must have talked to you in church, you know, online or however it was for you yesterday, whoever it is you're hearing me from. You know, so, you know, that's why you've got books, you've got tapes, you've got, God is telling you, raise your sight. God is telling you, raise your sight. How do you see? How far do you see? So don't forget, what do you see? How do you see it, and how well do you see it? David in Psalm 119 verse 18 said, open my eyes, a simple, beautiful prayer, that I may see wonderful things in your word. Oh, beautiful prayer, beautiful prayer, beautiful prayer. Open my eyes. Someone say, why is this important? Because what we see is important. How we see it is important. Maybe you're struggling. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see wonderful things in your word. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. You could ask for that help. Lord, open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see wonderful things. I know you've got good and mighty promises for me. I know you have a great plan for my life. And I'm struggling to see right now. I ask that you open my eyes to see. To see. All right. Paul prayed, all right, a version, you know, of that kind of prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. He said that the eyes of your understanding may be flooded with light. The eyes of your understanding may be flooded with light. The eyes of your understanding may be flooded with light. I want you to think through today. What do you see? Take note of the thoughts that come to you. Take note. Are they consistent thoughts of victory? Are they thoughts of insufficiency? Please note what I'm saying, please. All right. Are they thoughts of victory? Are they thoughts of insufficiency? Are they thoughts of inadequacy? Are they thoughts of fear? All right. Are they limiting thoughts? All right. Are they victorious thoughts? Are they thoughts that push you forward? Are they thoughts that drain and zap off? You know, take note of your thoughts. Please, take note. Just don't just jump off. Take note. Oh, this kind of thought. Oh, I didn't know I think like this. I didn't know I think. Oh, I didn't know I could allow. Now, every thought you have is not always yours. I'll deal with that. I'll deal with that. I'll deal with that. But please, take note of your thoughts and keep reminding yourself, all right, that I have to note and I have to see well. And then please, if you don't mind, Lord, open my eyes. And I ask in the name of Jesus, that your eyes open to see. All right. Your eyes open to see. Your eyes open to see those beautiful things that God has mapped out for you. Your eyes open to see the supernatural abilities God has stored up within you. That your eyes will open to see the greatness and the goodness of God. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We receive this. We receive our eyes of understanding flooded with light, flooded with light. We see possibilities where we've been drowned in impossibilities. We see love, or been drowned with hate and bitterness. We see. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise God. I believe this is a great start of your week. I look forward to you just doing what I've encouraged you to do today, and then we hook up again tomorrow. Thanks for joining in. All right, have a very beautiful day. See you tomorrow. Bye. Wide-eyed and mystified.